I made a commitment to finish this show, and goddammit, I'm doing it. Let's hear a theme song.
Loitering in Wonderland, Westworld Review.
Hello, citizens. Welcome to Violent Ends, LAW Westworld Review for episode 31, 401, The Auguries. I'm Phoenix West. I'm fulfilling my commitment to finishing the podcast, to finishing every episode of Westworld and Beyond Westworld and the movies. I'm even going to do the movies twice. I'm doing a bookend thing where I'm going to end on the last two episodes, which are going to be Future World and then Westworld, because it started with Westworld and Future World. Doing bookends, doing the thing. All right, let's get to it. Season 4, I'm holding the Blu-ray in my hand. And the reason I'm holding the Blu-ray, I haven't owned these for very long, is because, let me say, I owned Season 1 and 2 for a long time. My friend Adam died, and I got his copy of Westworld Season 1 in that red steelbook 4K, and it is badass. And it looks fantastic when I watched it. I had to watch the Blu-rays, let me get to my point, because HBO, for some reason, in their infinite wisdom, decided to remove it from what formerly was known as HBO Max, now just Max, as if you're fooling anyone. So despite the fact that they own it, they're not showing the show on their platform, which is just nonsense if you ask me. I can't quite comprehend why they would remove it. But whatever, I had to buy the fucking things. Maybe that's what their plan was the whole time. Who knows? This one starts off, episode 401. A guy I can only refer to as Mexican Josh Hartnett. He's in Vegas, Las Vegas, if you will. Not to be confused with any other Vegases, you know, the Vegas. I recognize him from Big Sky, which is a show that existed. It was promised to be a Ryan Phillippe show, and Ryan Phillippe gets his head blown off at the end of the first episode. And it goes on for 4 seasons, I think. 3 or 4. It was almost a good show, and then it kept failing, and it never was that good. Season 1 was the high point, and then it goes downhill from there. I think, was it 3 or 4? It felt like 4, but I think it was only 3. It dragged on. I like the characters on there, though. But, yeah, this guy, he was in the worst season, which was the one where the kids find the bag of money, and he plays her terrible stepdad, one of the girls' terrible stepdad, and he's trying to get the money the whole time. And he's one of the highlights of that season. And, again, not a good season, but, yeah, he was the best part. Anyway, he's clearly working for some sort of, like, weird mob organization on the Hoover Dam. Man in Black shows up. Again, I'm calling the robot Man in Black, and I'm calling the person William, just so that in my notes, and just so I'm not confusing myself or you. And keep in mind, I have seen all of Season 4, so I am going to spoil that. So if you're going to listen to this, definitely finish the season first. Because I'm kind of going to go over my notes when I'm doing the episode, as well as how that gets put together in the end. Because I'm reading my notes raw here in the moment when I was watching this, I was taking the notes. This isn't something I did after. So it's going to be like, I don't know why I was thinking that, because clearly it was this sort of thing. He shows up. He threatens to buy the land. He basically is like, you're going to sell it to me now. Excuse me. At this, that was not a laugh. That was gagging. I'm drinking a beer here. Anyway, he's like, I'm going to buy this land here, or tomorrow I'm going to show up and you're going to give it to me. And they're like, ha, 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 and they laugh him out, and he leaves. Mexican Josh Hartnett goes home, and he comes home to find just all the flies in the entire world are at his house. And he's staring at the ceiling, and then they go into his face. His name is Arturo Del Puerto, just so I'm not calling him only Mexican Josh Hartnett. Let's give the guy his due, because his character doesn't last long. Because the next day, after the flies invade his whole face, because when you're watching this, you're like, what the fuck is with these flies? And I'm waiting for it to make sense. And it takes a long time in this season until it actually makes sense. But anyway, he shows up the next day and he tells, take it for free, huh? And they all laugh. And then he stabs his boss. And he goes on the bridge and he's talking to Man in Black, and he hands him the deed to the land, and then he proceeds to slice his throat. And that's the story of how Man in Black bought the Hoover Dam, I guess, is the takeaway. And then it cuts to Dolores, and she wakes up in bed, and you're going to watch her wake up in bed. I know you do a lot in season one, but you're going to watch her wake up in bed sometimes 6-7 times an episode in this season. But the first of many happens right here. She wakes up. I guess her name is Christina, and we only know that because her who I found out was her roommate. But in my notes it says Christina wakes up as Christina in a lesbian relationship. And then she goes to work. I assume that was her girlfriend. I was like, all right, well, she's doing this. Don't know what's going on. Waiting. And the woman is like, black or white shoes? She's asking what color she should wear, but she's wearing fully white outfit. Black shoes would look so fucking weird with that. Anyway, that's as much fashion advice as you're going to get on this show. She goes to work. It seems like she kind of works at or lives in the new Westworld. Everything seems very programmed, and like some people are wearing COVID masks. I don't know. They mentioned the last scene of this episode. Actually, it's the next episode. They mentioned a pandemic, and I don't know. Whatever. It seems all very, very clean and very scripted, and that's the point, because she goes to work, and there's a guy there at his desk, and he's talking, and he's, like, creating a story, but also there's, like, a gum-looking dude. Looks like he's made out of gum, doing push-ups, like a terrible little clay monster doing push-ups. I don't know what the fuck story that guy's writing now that I know what they're doing there. What the hell story was that guy doing, and why was that? And then he does another push-up, and then another one, and then another. What are you doing, dude? That's your story? She sits down, she starts to tell the story, and then her boss comes in and harasses her for writing the fantasy story, romance stories, and they're so boring, they're so predictable, blah, 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 blah. She gets a phone call, and some guy left a voicemail. It's like, why are you doing this? You're ruining my life. Stop it. And then she hangs up on him. We cut to Maeve. She's in a snowy mountain cabin, like a la end of Breaking Bad, Walter White. And she's just hanging out there, and she's like meditating, thinking about previous seasons of the show, because she's doing a little clip, little montage there. And then we see a flashback of Caleb dying, which obviously hasn't happened, but we haven't met Caleb yet. So I was like, oh, is Caleb dead? But then we cut to Caleb after that. Oh, she thinks so hard. She meditates so hard. She makes all the snowy mountain town lights in this town go out. It's like an X-Men movie. And then we get to see Caleb, and he's doing construction in a big-ass tall building. And he's still doing the same thing after the war. I guess it's been 7 years. We find that in the next scene. But it's been 7 years since the war. And I guess they won, even though he's still doing construction, which is what Insight told him he's going to do in season 3. So, congrats on your victory, Caleb? I don't quite know. But then he goes home, and he has a daughter. And in, you know, good psychopath fashion, she's outside firing weapons. And she's trying to shoot cans, and he helps her. And then he goes inside, and he has a wife now. And she's very concerned about how paranoid it is. She's basically like trying to shame him for having PTSD after a war. And because he's like grabbing a gun when he hears a noise. And she's like, it's a raccoon. Just calm the fuck down, dude. And he's like, okay, I'm so sorry. just let him, whatever. Maeve, she goes back to the cabin, or she goes to the store. And the guy's like, oh, your friends are up there. And she's like, I don't have any friends. How long ago? And she goes up to the cabin, sees a bunch of dudes. And then she gets her truck running, and she, you know, obviously she's not in it, and it goes by, and they all shoot at it. And then then she comes out, and she kills them all, clearly. And then she captures the last dude, asking him questions about who sent her, and he's like, and he gives her some information, but he's like, he says at one point, is that in this episode where he says how many robots there are? I feel like I just deleted my own note. Yeah, it's in the next episode, sorry. I just skimmed through episode 1 and 2, so I'm combining them now, of course. Anyway, a lot of robots. She cuts off his head, and it turns out they're all robots out there. And she gets his brain ball, his robot brain ball, and puts it in the thing and reads it. And Man in Black sent him, essentially. I'm done with this fucking scene. Why am I taking so long to explain this? And then I wrote, never mind, because Dolores goes out with her friend, and she goes on a date with a man. I don't know why she took her friend to a date to leave her friend behind. That seems like strange behavior, but that's what happens. And it's a weird-looking dude that she goes on a date with. Like, he's almost very, very handsome, but something doesn't quite match up with his head. It's like Clementine, where she's, like, clearly a very pretty woman, but she also looks like none of her parts belong together on her face. and it somehow works out well. Like, this guy definitely works out well for him somehow, and I can't quite place how or what's wrong with his face in my mind. But, you know, it's working for him, so kudos to him, I guess, is the point. Because my shit doesn't match either, but, and I can't make it work. So, if you can, you know, more power to you, I guess. She's walking, and then some man on the street yells at her. It was the guy who's calling her and threatening her, but why are you doing this to her? And he puts a knife to her throat and blah, blah, blah. And then, I guess her stories are happening in real life at this, and that's kind of what you're supposed to be thinking at this point. Someone helps her. We know who it is now, because at the end of the episode they show it, but someone helps her, beats the shit out of the dude to save Dolores / Christina's life, and then they just vanish. Which to me was the big clue of what the ending of this season was when it happened. Oh, it's in your head. And I'm like, yeah, now I know, because they vanished in front of her. I was kind of expecting that when it came around, when it was supposed to be a reveal. Anyway, the very next day, the man jumps to his death at the apartment next door. Just jumps to his death. I don't know why they just didn't kill him there, but whatever. Cut back to Caleb. He's at home. His daughter goes outside. He follows her. What I can only refer to as the milk murder robot. He's from Westworld Season 1, and I think he appears a couple of times after that. But he's the milk robot. He's the one that kills them and drinks milk and poured milk all over them in a couple scenes there in season one. And then he goes to shoot the Caleb and the daughter, and then Maeve slices him up from behind, and she's like, I'm here to take you. Flawless impression of her. And then Caleb just leaves with her and leaves his wife and child behind. So we got to go fight the robots. And the wife's like, no, come on, dude. Like, I finally got you back. Don't go. He's like, I gotta go fight the robots. And he goes with his ragtag group of people we never meet again. And they're gone. Dolores goes outside at night, and she starts to write a story on the patio. Oh, she saw the Westworld symbol, the maze from season one. She saw the maze, like, in salt on her patio. And she's like, new idea for a story. It's about a young woman full of hope. I want to have a happy ending. And it's like, sounds like the story you got berated for at work today that you keep going back to, that you keep going back to that well. And it sounds like you're not learning your lesson here, Christina. I think you should not do that story. But I guess that scene is just to get you outside so that we don't just see him staring at nothing, because it's revealed that there's a man staring at her, and it's Teddy. And he looks good. He's got a haircut. He's more handsome now than he was years ago. Because he skipped season three, so he hasn't been on the show for, you know, real actor time, years. And goddamn, he's more attractive than ever. It's not fair. Genetics are a bastard. It's just not fair that someone can look like that. If you're casting a character as a robot, he's one of the, like, on your dream bucket list. Like, I want five people. Rob Lowe said no, so let's get the guy half his age, or not half his age, but close. The younger Rob Lowe at this point, and he'll do it. But if I made a list of 10 people, he would be definitely in there. I think he's in most people's. Just goddamn, that is a handsome man, and if you're gonna make a robot, it's gonna look like that. So yeah, it's just not fair. Genetics are so unfair sometimes. Because look at Ed Harris, when he was young, when he was his age, he didn't look anything close to that. It's not, whatever. That's the end of the first episode. We got seven more to go. I do like the Blu-ray for season four. It's got the skull, the robot hands, and they're pulling out that brain ball. I thought it was an apple, but it's a brain ball. And then on the inside, it's the exact same fucking thing. They got really cheap with these season three and four Blu-rays. But it's cool looking. I don't know. I like it. I would like this as artwork on the office wall, on the LAW Studios wall, but not going to happen. Oh, by the way, when you buy season 3 and 4 on Blu-ray, don't bother with the digital code, because it says on the front cover when they expired, which was fucking years ago. So don't bother. I mean, season 3 just expired December 31st of 2023, which was in the past from when I bought it. So I bought this in January. I bought it just too late to cash in on the code. So I had to watch the actual Blu-rays. That's neither here nor there. I read about it before I bought it on the review, so I kind of knew it was going to happen, but I was still like, oh, maybe. Because I've seen them where they said they're expired, but it still takes it. Not in this case. Not in this case, guys. HBO are stingy bastards. You can't even watch the fucking thing on their own platform. So, of course, they're not going to fulfill their end there and extend the codes or anything, give you a new code. You know what I mean? You spend how much on a Blu-ray and you can't even get the digital version, and that's kind of standard now. Because nobody really watches Blu-rays anymore. Like, even me, I buy the Blu-ray for the collection, but I don't want to physically put the fucking disc in if I don't have to. I'm going to get out of here. So, guys, until next time, which is Well Enough Alone, 402. And in the meantime, I am Phoenix West. So long, citizens. So long, Christina.